Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Ready to get back in our Father's Word, Book of Ephesians. Ephesians meaning permitted. The first three chapters we have finished, and they supposedly are very difficult to understand by many people. I don't find them difficult at all, because if you understand there was an earth age before this one, that's what it's talking about. That's the mystery hidden that Paul brought forth, that there are three earth ages. And in the very last verse, it would read in verse 21 of that third chapter, "Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages," all three of them, "world without end, amen." And that sums up that particular segment of those three chapters that many people feel are difficult to understand. Example, chapter 1, verse 4, "I chose you before the foundations of this earth." That's a little difficult for a salvation preacher to explain if he doesn't go any deeper than in teaching God's Word, other than salvation itself and baptism. Because you have to get into the Word and understand there were three earth ages. You take the blinders off, and wow, God's Word blossoms. Now we come to this fourth chapter, and this tells you how to walk as a Christian when that body of Christ, the many-membered body of Christians, join together, accomplishing the ministry that Christ would have us do, even down to the witnessing against the false Messiah. It tells you how to walk. So it's a very important chapter. Chapter 4, verse 1, a word of wisdom from our Father, verse 1 reads, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," or in the Lord properly, "beseech you that you walk worthily of the vocation wherein ye are called." If you are one of God's elect, or even one with free will, there are callings, gifts from God, giving you the ability to do certain things. As a matter of fact, your ability, quite frankly, are that's your credentials. If you have the ability, nobody's going to question your credentials. Christ never gave his credentials. He went by his ability to cut it, to get it done. And certainly he could. But Paul says, even while I'm in prison, I'm able to do this, to bring it forth, and he certainly did. Verse 2, "with all lowliness," that means be humble, "meekness," lowliness and meekness, "with long-suffering." Long-suffering means have lots of patience. You know, that's something people run pretty short on, but have a lot of patience, "forbearing one another in love," putting up with one another, getting along with one another, in love. That rough takes away a lot of the rough edges. And so it is. This is how you walk as a Christian. Verse 3, "endeavoring," attempting, trying, doing your best, "to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." In other words, you keep that oneness. There's only one place you're going to find that oneness, and that's in our Father and the Son. That the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, that oneness that comes in that family, it overrides all problems. God will always lead you, guide you, direct you. I mean, you're going to get into some rough stuff, but hey, man, woman, or child of God can cut it. We can handle it. Little tough stuff comes along, piece of cake. Okay, when you got him as your arbitrator. And that's what this is, letting the Spirit, what Spirit is that? The Holy Spirit, direct you, guide you, lead you. Verse 4, "there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. There's not two, there's not three, there's not several bodies, there's just one. It's that many-membered body that follows who? Follows Christ from the Father. Verse 5, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Not a dozen, not a bunch of doctrine this way or a bunch of doctrine that way. Well, how can I tell? By the Word of God. All you got to do is read it and listen to it. It's that simple. Or if you want to really get confused, start listening to man. I don't care what man you're listening to, this one or any other. Check them out in the Word of God. Got to be documented. Verse 6. One God and Father of all. Now, how many was that he was the Father of? It is just this people and maybe that. No, all. Father of all. He has created every race, every soul, every child, who is above all, and through all, and in you all, or you-ins, okay? If you're down south in Jerusalem, that's, we'll grab you right there. There's only one. And anytime you start looking for some other way, you're looking for trouble, because there's only one. Well, how could I go wrong with just one? By listening to others? Well, what do you mean listening to others? This word is the Word of God. Listen to your Father. He is the Father of all, including you, and you can't go too far wrong. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace, that's unmerited favor, whether you deserve it or not, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. This word gift here means gratuity. It means it's freely given. It's given by Christ to those that deserve it. And these gifts have a large range. Why? Because it has to make up the many-membered body, and every office, every duty, every obligation, it's got to be filled by someone. Verse 8. Wherefore he saith, who is this he? The psalmist. Wherefore he's Christ, God speaking through the psalmist. Wherefore he saith, when he ascendeth up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He gave gratuity. I mean, it was free. He gave them to men. One more verse, verse 9. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? Well, what does that mean? Well, it means that he actually went all the way, even when he returned back, he went back to the lower parts, that is to say, back to the time of Adam, and preached to the souls in paradise, whereby Christ, who did descend and ascend, brings the truth of salvation all the way back to the beginning, so that God is all in all of his children, all the way back to Adam and Eve and the six-day creation before, giving them the opportunity of salvation. Do you know what this psalmist, what he's quoting here? He's quoting Psalm 68. And Psalm 68... I'm going to pick it up with verse 17. Let's see what it says. The chariots of God are 20,000, even thousands of angels. The Lord is among them as in Sinai in the holy place. Boy, you know, you talk about power. Think about that. 18. This is what he was referring to. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. That's that gratuity. Yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. That choice was given. 19. Blessed be the Lord who daily, how many? Daily loadeth us with benefits. Even the God of our salvation, Selah. Selah in the Psalms means stop the music. I just made a statement. Now, after this pause or rest in the music, I want to explain it to you so that everybody can understand. So here comes the explanation. Verse 20. He that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord belong the issues from death. You escape death by loving him and believing in him through that Son, which is the Savior. 21. But God shall wound the head of his enemies, and the hairy scalp of such an one as goeth on still in his trespasses. The Lord said, I will bring again from Bashan, that means fruitful, I will bring my people again from the depths of the sea. And so it will be in the end when that great white throne judgment, all the sea is the mass of people that he calls forth. But he's got the army with him to get it done. So that's what he's talking about. You know, we're accustomed to seeing what's on earth. In this book of Ephesians, you must look to powers and principalities that are in heavenly places also. You just read in that 17th verse how our Father operates. He has armies. He can cause things to happen. And if you believe upon him, your enemies become his enemies. Your adversary becomes his adversary. In one, you don't have a whole lot to worry about. Because whatever, and God's not raising hothouse lilies. He expects you to do your part in this world to help knock heads sometimes. Because there's some stiff-necked, hard-headed people that need salvation. And sometimes you have to give some attitude adjustments. In other words, you have to practice tough love. If you love somebody, you're going to really tell them what's wrong with them, spiritually wise. If it is a situation whereby they can find that salvation. So there you have it. Our Father is so wonderful. This is what the psalmist said. He said, I want you to absorb that, to let it soak in. Now, returning to chapter 4, the great book of Ephesians, verse 10. And verse 10 would read, he that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, that he might fulfill all things. That's why you can always count on God's word coming to pass as it's written. He sits at the right hand of God, utilizing the election, as well as those that have free will and believe, to accomplish his plan. Not ours, his. That's what's important. His plan always is the best for us, okay? Verse 11, for he gave some, and when he gave these gifts, he gave some apostles, that means sent ones, and some prophets, that's teachers, of the prophetic utterances, the prophets of old and revelation of the new, and some evangelists, those that are able to interest people in hearing the word of God, and some pastors and teachers. A pastor is a teacher. A pastor comes from the word pasture, like the lambs or cattle graze in. That a pastor always makes sure that he furnishes ample fodder, grazing rights, good food, the word of God, whereby it builds and strengthens you, and you are planted in Christ to grow into a wonderful servant of the living God. That's how it comes to pass, that that Father leads, guides, and directs. And now we go with the next verse, verse 12. For the perfecting, that means the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying means to edit that is bad, scratch out, write in what is right in the body, and build it, help it, educate it, and let God be what? The head. Unfortunately, so many times you have men that want to set themselves up as little gods, I guess. In other words, they want to take over. They want to instruct. They want to demand, they want to be a little dictator, spiritual, religious dictator. You can turn into a cult real easy, and some of the major names will not be questioned. That's a mark of a cult. Will not answer questions, mark of a cult. Cannot explain, mark of a cult. Whereas God's word flows freely with the explanation always handy. Therefore, you want to be very careful and make sure you attend where edifying, that's teaching and correcting, takes place. 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith, that's how you walk, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. That means a mature person, not some milk toast little Christian, not even potty trained yet, but well educated in the Word of God, whereby you can stand for the Word of God by it, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, filled full with Christ and the Holy Spirit, and able to come forth with that truth and that edifying, and being a part of that ministry. Verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, woof, 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 puff, 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 false, by the sleight of men, not God, psychologists. Let's toy with their mind a little here and there. Tweak it. And cunning craftiness, that's of Satan, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They lie to take away the truth. It's what they do. Traditions of men make void the word of God and hide the beauty of the winning hand that Satan would rip you off from, that God gives you. A winning hand, one you can really go with. Satan would like to cause a lot of doubts to come along by having some would-be so-called little dictator, spiritual dictator over here, saying, I have the way, listen to me. No, listen to God. You know, that's who you listen to. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Speak, deal, and live truth. Let the truth, that's God's word. It is so powerful. It is so encouraging. You know, like we just accomplished when you said, as it was written, where it says he wrote it, meaning the psalmist. It says God comes with 20,000 angels, 20,000 chariots roaring with fire. He's got an army. You can't see it. It's a different dimension right now. But someday you will. It will transform. But how precious our Father is when you're in him. And when you know that hand is over you, when you do what is right and when you use common sense and take care of business. Verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, it takes the whole body, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. In other words, in working together, in studying together, in leading together, in teaching together, in evangelizing together, in being apostles together as the gifts apply. Who has that gift? Then in that together we are rooted in Christ, And when you are rooted in him, it means all your nourishment of knowledge comes from him. And that's how you gain the knowledge of Christ through the Father, making you a plant of God that is an edifying force, meaning bringing truth and in the simplicity in which Christ teaches through Paul and many others. Verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Don't go with the way of sinners. Well, I just like to walk with them. I think, yeah, it'll rub off on you, friend. You don't have to worry. What it means is I'll take drugs as an example. If you are addicted and you have stopped, if you walk with those that are still addicted, guess what happens? You're tempted beyond measure. Why be a fool? You need to change where you walk. Don't walk as they walk. Change your life. Get new surroundings. Surround yourself in that body that is so fitly tightened together that nothing can slip in mature minds with a bunch of junk. 18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, just shut off, through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Satan loves nothing. He's a prince of darkness. He likes for you to grope around in the dark, guessing at things and feeling for things, rather than standing on the sure ground and knowledge. Don't be some little baby still wearing diapers, not even potty trained as far as spirituality is concerned, but educate yourself in the knowledge of God. Grow up into a warrior of Almighty God, that is to say, bringing forth the word of God or whatever gift he gives you that you are to accomplish. Many of you are going to have to witness, not in the near future, against the false Messiah. What a calling. Even the prophets wanted to live, many of them at this time, in this generation. You do. You're very fortunate. Don't blow it. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness and with greediness. You know what past feeling, that's cauterized. That means when you, in old days, when that's the only way you could stop a real bad wound is to cauterize it, that means like you have a branding iron, you cauterize it, that stops the flow of blood, but it kills every nerve in it. You can't feel anything. And that's the way they are. They have no natural feeling of right from wrong, and so it is. Don't go there. Verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. You were not taught that way. You were taught the true way that you're to walk. 21. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. If you know him, you know how he cares for the family, our Christ, our Savior. 22. That you put off concerning the former conversations the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And so it is. In other words, if you walk with that crowd, that's where you're going to end up at. That's simple. You want to remember, Satan is coming as the false Messiah pretty soon. He's going to play like he's Jesus. Especially in God's elect, he knows every one of our weaknesses. And don't ever think he's not going to use that if he has the opportunity. You won't fall for it. You're too bright for that. You have the knowledge of Christ within you. And you're going to use the power you have, those 20,000 chariots and that army of angels behind you will tell him in Christ's name, beat it, and he runs. It's time to stand up and be a man, woman, or a child of God, not taking the path of darkness, and standing for the Word of God as a real Christian should. And next verse, please. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, you renew yourself in the mind by studying Father's Word. Do you know, you want to, where you really advance, and when you really have a sign of maturity, is you will always remember Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26. Because a real mature Christian knows what God said there. God said in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 26, hey, remind me of all the promises I've made. Let's talk about it so I can justify you. Now, God didn't forget his promises. He wants to know if you've read them. He wants to know if you know how to claim them. Because if you know how to claim them and you remind him of them, he can justify you, which is he can make it just. That's so precious. That's so powerful. It's not a scripture just to read. It's an actual fact in this generation. Verse 24, to continue. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. In other words, you stop walking in junk. 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In other words, so it is. And here he quotes Zechariah 8:16. And so it is. You care. It's one family. 26, be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And here he's quoting here another psalm. He's quoting Psalms 57, verse 8. I'm 37, I'm sorry, verse 8. Do you know what this 37th psalm is? It's an acrostic psalm. What it answers is, in other words, there's three stanzas that have a different number of lines than any of the other verses in the psalm. And what it is when they ask the question, why is it that it always seems the wicked get ahead and we don't? It's God's way hidden in the Hebrew manuscripts to let you know they don't get away with anything. They're going to burn and you're going to be there to see it. But that's what this psalm is about. But I want to go to that one particular verse he was referring to, Psalms 37, verse 8. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Don't worry about anything. And don't be angry. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. That means patiently follow him, that wait upon him, and so it is. Verse 10, for yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. That's why that psalm is so very important. That it does. You know, what it says is that the wicked will be this, if we were to follow through on the whole acrostic. That the wicked will be like the fat of a lamb on a spit turning over an open fire. As the fat drops into the fire, it goes up in smoke forever and ever, meaning it ceases to exist. And the latter part of it is you're going to be there to see it. And how precious it is when we follow God's word. And when you have his blessings, do you want to inherit the earth? Or do you want to make the lot walk into that great pit? I don't. It's too easy to even have a good life on this earth today, serving the living God and knowing and understanding He has His hand on you, over you, when you deserve it. Everybody gets everything they deserve. You might analyze yourself oftentimes if it doesn't seem like the chips are falling right. Something's wrong. I guarantee you it's not God. Okay, I'll say that again. When things don't quite go right, something's wrong, it's not with God. It's with your understanding of His word. And he wants to get your attention. For He always corrects those He loves. When He stops correcting you and just lets you go to the dogs, you're in bad shape. For God only corrects those He loves, those that serve Him. Right? Because He wants them to do what's right. He wants you in the eternity. But most of all, He loves all of His children, and He wants you to be a part of this one body that will help save those children that are lost by taking the gift God has given you and witnessing against the false one, whatever your gift may be, and to edify the very world itself with truth and knowledge, whereby when that time comes, they are without excuse to know they did not hear the truth. For in our Father's word, they always hear the truth, and how precious it is. Okay, one more verse to complete the lecture, 29:27. Never give place to the devil. That's a fact. Why would you want to? I mean, he walks and he's a thief and he brings death. Why would you want to give place to him? Tell him where to go. In the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that He has instilled within you in Luke chapter 10, verses 18 and 19, order him and all your enemies where they belong, in Christ's name. They run from you. Some people will let them beat them to death. Overhaul their carcass right and left. Little humble Christian sits there and says, oh, woe is me. Get rougher than a junkyard dog. When it comes, spiritually speaking, to Satan, the old devil, take care of business. God doesn't want wimps necessarily in the front line. He wants people that know how to handle the devil. We do it through Christ. All right, don't miss the next lecture. How do Christians walk? That's what this chapter is about. Listen a moment, won't you please?
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the mark of the beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the mark of the beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, behold, I have foretold you all things. Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the mark of the beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
And there we are back again. Let's have the 800 number, please. 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada. If the Spirit moves, you got a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Please never ask a question about some reverend, some denomination or organization. We do not judge people. We have one judge. That's our Father. He can handle it. You don't have to worry about it. You should spiritually discern what you should hear, listen to, accept, and what you should cast aside. That's a gift from God. Those of you that listen by shortwave around the world, it's always a pleasure hearing from you, and your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Now, got a prayer request? You don't need that number. You don't need an address. Why? God knows what you're thinking. You don't even have to say it out loud. You don't have to pray out loud. God knows your very heart. What does he want from you? Your love. In Hosea chapter 6, verse 6, I do not want your burnt offerings. I want your grace, your mercy, that's your love. He created you for his pleasure. And when you pleasure him by returning that love, you're going to be blessed. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, and direct, Father. Touch in Yeshua's precious name. Amen. Cecilia from Arkansas. I work at a restaurant as a manager. I have been asked to stop playing Christian music, which I love. I am not very happy about it. What should I do? Then when you are manager and the owner says stop, never preach or teach in the line of work that sustains yourself and your family. Oh, never preach on the boss's time. Okay. When you're hired to do a certain thing, you're hired to do it his or her way. So naturally, do not be offended. We live in a world that it would seem that, but when you're home, enjoy all the Christian music you wish. Michelle from New Mexico. When Jesus was on the cross, why was he given vinegar? Well, you know, this is one of those things about translations. It was not vinegar. It was a poor man, Roman soldier's wine. Okay. And if the Roman soldier felt sorry for somebody, he had a little jug of would translate vinegar. It was, I guess, not, maybe it tasted a lot like vinegar, but it was supposed to be wine. And they gave it to try to help ease pain. So it was given with good intentions, but naturally, scripture had to be fulfilled as it is written that he refused it. Keith from Louisiana. Where can I find in the Bible that it is okay to go to war and to fight in the military? Well, many places. But I always like to use the main place as the prayer, the soldier's prayer in Psalms 144, which it's been some time since I read it, and I've been asked this question quite a few times. I'm going to read it. The soldier's prayer, 144, because being military myself, I dislike very much people that try to plant seeds that that you should not protect this nation, your family, or your children. What does God think about that? Psalms 144, blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war, and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me, the enemy. So, yes, God expects people to stand up, take responsibility, and protect their people. Always has, always will. You have these bleeding hearts that are not educated in God's word, and they'll say, you're not supposed to kill. That's not what it says. It says, do no murder. To murder is the word in the Greek that Jesus told you would burn for, is phonyons. He said, I don't change one jot of it, not even a tittle. For if you phonyons, if you lie in wait and with meanness take a life, you're liable to perish, burn. That's up to God, okay? So it is. Jerry from Arkansas, I've been called a Kenite by a neighbor. How can this be? Can a Kenite grow a garden? My family has always had a garden. No, a Kenite couldn't, most likely. But sticks and bones will break a bone, but words will never hurt me. Get along with your neighbor if it be possible. Sound to me like you might have one of those situations where it might not be possible. So the best thing to do is to go about your business and let that person take care of their own. Connie from California, how do you know when the Holy Spirit is in you? You intuitively know. And there are some people that it would seem they expect God to put on a sideshow for them. Love comes from within. When you love someone, it comes from within you. You can't help it. And it goes outward. It's the same way with God. When you do what's right, he loves you and that spirit comes to you. And you have it. You don't have to have some miracle happen. When God touches you, you can feel it. And when you know that, when good things happen to you, when you obey him. Amy from Michigan. I recently lost my younger brother, Donald, and now my mom, Carla, will not talk to me, and I am not sure why. Please let her know that I love her to death. She watches you every morning. Well, love your mom, respect her, maybe cut some slack. She's lost a child. It's an awesome thing for a parent to lose a child. So pray about it, and we'll be praying about it with you. Rose from California. Where does the scripture say Eve had twins? I've looked in several Bibles and the Strong's, but I can't find it. Please help. That's real simple. Take your Strong's and go to Genesis chapter 4, verse 2. And when it says that Eve gave birth to Cain, it says, and again. That word again is yasaf in the Hebrew tongue. You know what it means? She continued in labor and gave birth to another child. They both came of age of accountability at the same time because they both had to offer offerings to God in the same year. All kinds of proof that they were twins. Marlene from Georgia, is it wrong today to spank your children? What does the Bible say about it? Will the law punish us for whipping our children? Well, you have to use intelligence, okay? You've got politically correctness until it's gone amok, okay? So I would not punish a child publicly if I could help it. And never, ever, ever punish a child when you're angry. Children are very, very intelligent. Their minds are in the learning mode all the time. So spare the rod and spoil the child, okay? This is why God even corrects us, when punishes us when we need it. So you must have discipline. But again, I want to emphasize, never strike a child about the face or anywhere else on the body. They have a place where you can swat. It's called the posterior. It's well padded. So it is that you can correct the child. Let them know why you're doing it. Talk to them intelligently. Let them know exactly why you're punishing them, that you're hurt and you're disappointed in them. It will always hurt you more than it hurts them. But as a parent, you must have discipline or you will spoil the child, okay? Children respect discipline. Joe from Kentucky. When Michael releases Satan from heaven, will he be in a spiritual body or in a flesh body? What is a cherubim? A cherubim is like an archangel. Basically, they're never born of woman because of something that happened in the first earth age. They earned whatever they deserve, they get, okay? In Satan's case, he fell and was even sentenced to death in the first earth age. He was the only entity that was sentenced to death in the first earth age. You can read of it in Ezekiel chapter 28, verses 18 and 19. And so it is that the transformed bodies we will see, but they will be spiritual transformed bodies when he comes. He can perform miracles. This is why a lot of people are going to be deceived thinking he is Christ, because he's going to claim to be. That's why he's called in the Greek tongue instead of Christ. He comes first to see how many people have really read the Word of God, where he says over and over, the false one comes first. Debbie from Oklahoma, would you know if God was mad at you? You can rest assured you would always know if God is angry at you. The thing is talk to him, repent, and he's over it just like that. As a matter of fact, he'll say, don't ever bring up the fault again, whatever the fault may be. He would never be mad at you for no reason at all. And I'm not saying he is mad at you. You would know intuitively, I think. Jenny from Texas, from Revelation 6, 12 through 14, talks about the stars falling from the sky. And I know that the Antichrist comes at the sixth seal, sixth vial, sixth trump. What are these stars? Well, it's the untimely figs falling. It's Satan and his fallen angels falling, coming, being kicked from heaven to earth in that sixth trump. We're coming awful close to that time. One wants to really be aware of what's happening in the world at this time. There is not one war being fought at this time that is not religious and very biblical. Brenda from North Carolina, I would like to know what he meant by the babbling tongue. Does it mean in shouting or praying? No. The word in the Greek means vain. Do you know what vain means? It means empty. It doesn't amount to anything. It's hot air. It is someone making sound that absolutely has no message, no purpose, and it is worthless, void. God doesn't like it. Every move Christ made, there was a reason for it. He didn't waste time, and so it should be. Babbling won't cut it. He didn't babble, and neither should people. Virginia, don't know where Virginia is from. Maybe Virginia is from Virginia. Let's say she is. What is the best version of the Bible to have? I like, for a student, the companion Bible that we have in our library. Why? Because it outlines the scripture for you by one of my mentors. It outlines it whereby you know who the we's, they's, and so forth, and really what's going to be discussed. Most teachers even teach from an outline when they're putting together a program, a lecture. And this way, the student has the outline, but it also has about 198 appendix in the back that are deep studies in God's Word that are very helpful. Some people might consider it to be difficult. God's Word is never difficult. It's man that makes it difficult. Christ always taught in simplicity when you understand his Word. Donna from California, does witchcraft exist? If it does, then how do you rid yourself of it if you think it has been put on you? Well, it could not have been put on you. An evil spirit might have been, but you have Christ. And you make a note of Luke chapter 10, verses 18 following. I've helped Satan fall as a star, but I give you power over all of your enemies. So, if somebody tried to put an evil spirit on a true Christian, it would ricochet way like a bullet right back on them. It can't be done, okay? If you have Christ in you, there is no way something evil, such as a bad spirit, could enter when you stand up for that right, using the power that Christ gives you. Olitha from North Carolina, I have been told that when you join a church, all of your sins are forgiven, but on Judgment Day, they say you're going to be judged again. Would you please explain this to me? I don't understand. You're not going to be judged for the sins that are forgiven. On Judgment Day, you will be judged, but Do you know something? If everything you've done right, judgment is good. That means you're getting your reward. Judgment doesn't just mean something bad. But if they are telling you that you're forgiven, but you're still going to answer for it on judgment day, that's false. Because God said, once I forgive, I don't want to hear about it again. Because it's gone. It's done away with. It doesn't exist. So if you bring it back, it's an insult to God. Lee from California. Please explain why there are no J's in the Bible. Well, no, this really is a false statement, because you would have to, let me clarify. There are no J's in the Hebrew manuscripts. Okay. Well, why are there are J's in the King James Version of the Bible. But in the Hebrew manuscripts, there are no J's because the Hebrew alphabet has no J's in it. Okay? And when, if you were to say, like many people will say, Jah, J-A-H, Yah, Jah, in Hebrew it is Y-A-H, Yah, okay? If you were to say, Julie, in Hebrew it's Uli, okay? Yuli. Carrie from Georgia. When the Antichrist comes, I don't worry about myself, but I have a 10-month-old grandson. What will happen to him? God takes care of children. They're innocent. And always remember, many people think that the Antichrist is going to be murdering people and destroying people. That's where you're going to get deceived. It means you've never really read the Bible, if you were, and I'm not, I'm talking about in general with everybody that's ignorant of God's word. Because they've watched too many movies saying the apocalypse is a world of destruction. No, it isn't. It's Satan coming in prosperously and peacefully, saying he is Christ, bringing peace to the world, only it's not God's peace, his. That's why it's written over and over, when they say peace, 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 and safety, then comes the tribulation of God. Okay, so children are going to be just fine. You don't have to worry about it. KL from, don't know where. Pastor, when it speaks in Matthew 24 about one being taken and one left behind, does this mean that one will be taken in judgment by the Lord, just like the days of Noah and the flood? You kind of got it twisted up a little bit. What's the subject about in Matthew 24? The Antichrist is coming first. If they tell you he's out in the desert, don't go. Okay? And if one is taken first, who are they taken by? Satan. Okay? So, yeah, they're headed for judgment, all right, because they're hopping in the sack with Satan instead of waiting for the real wedding with Christ. And where you're bringing in Noah from Matthew 24, he said, hey, it's going to be just like it was in the days of Noah. They're going to be giving and taking in marriage again. Now wait a minute. Who were they giving and taking in marriage in the days of Noah? Genesis chapter 6, the fallen angels. Satan and his fallen angels are kicked out, and they are seducing women again. And this is why there were Geber, giants, in that particular generation. And naturally, the first one taken is taken by Satan. You want to stay patiently waiting until the true Christ comes at the seventh trump. Most children can count from 1 to 7. Wait until the seventh. Billy, there's another way that you really know. At the sixth trump, we're not changed into spiritual bodies. At the seventh trump, when the true Christ returns, we are changed into spiritual bodies. So that gives you a real good clue. Billy from Oklahoma, what scripture can I use to show others that there will be no rapture? Thank you. I appreciate you very much. Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Probably one of the best is the Old Testament, if they accept the Old Testament. Ezekiel chapter 13, verses 20 through 25, where God says, these false teachers, which is what the chapter is about, sew kerchiefs and hide every joint in my outreach saving arms where people are deceived and they are taught to fly to save their souls, and I'm against it, he says. I think that's pretty strong. Now, some of the newer translations, your little translators, probably Kenites, have changed it, where it talks about birds flying. But then you can expect that. That's why you want the real word, not some of these later fly-by-night things, okay? Just making friends and influencing people. But at the same time, read Mark 13. True Christians must witness against the false Christ, not premeditate even what they'll say. They don't fly away like a big bug. And from, I'm going to say that's Texas. When the Antichrist appears, who will non-Christians and others think he is? Will they also think he is God? What about 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, where it stipulates he will stand in the, and 5, that he will stand in the holy place claiming to be God? That's what he claims to be, is the Son with us and the Father, and he sets himself up, finally playing his little game. It will deceive many people, and I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love you all because you enjoy studying God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, whereby it is God teaching and speaking. But most of all, God loves you for it. It makes his day. And when you make his day, boy, is he going to bless you. You can count on it. You always get what you have coming to you. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we have helped you, you help us keep coming to you. You bless God, he will always bless you. Most important, though, you listen to me, and you listen real good. You stay in his word. Every day in his word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you. The sons of Eli and Samuel, the last two judges of Israel, sinned against the Lord greatly. The people of Israel witnessed the corruption of the priests and judges and rejected God as their ruler. The people wanted a man to be king and to reign over them instead of God. 1 and 2 Samuel records the history of Israel evolving from a theocracy to a monarchy. God warned Israel that a man king would take their sons to serve in his army, their daughters to serve as cooks and bakers. The best of their fields and vineyards would also be taken and given to the king's servants. Israel refused to heed God's warning and said, "We will have a king over us, that we also may be like all nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." So first Saul and then David were anointed king of Israel. Would God's prophecy or Israel's expectations of a man king come to pass? You'll enjoy many hours of in-depth Bible study with Pastor Arnold Murray as you study 1 and 2 Samuel.
From Gravette, Arkansas, this is Shepherd's Chapel with Pastor Arnold Murray. Join with us now as Pastor Murray takes you on a book by book, chapter by chapter, line by line, study in God's Word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Hey, welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. We're going to complete discernment. That's something you really must become skilled at, especially in this generation. That is to be able to discern good from evil, good spirit from bad spirit, good advice from bad advice, to discern which road you take in life. And God sent along a road map. That is to say,